Ragtime. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie. The United States Marine Band, conducted by Lieutenant William H. Santelman, with a February 18, 1909 recording of Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag. During the first two decades of the 20th century, from which time all of the recordings on this week's program were made, there were two performing acts upon whose popularity the recording industry in the United States was built. The great operatic tenor from Naples, Enrico Caruso, whose various recordings of Festila Juba had combined to sell over 1 million copies, the first such instance ever documented, and the band built by the former conductor of the U.S. Marine Band, the March King, John Philip Sousa. In 1900, at the Exposition Universelle in Paris and a subsequent European tour, Sousa's band introduced ragtime to the other side of the Atlantic, some of the effects of which we'll be hearing later in this program. Ironically, Sousa himself usually refused to conduct his band during recording sessions and later on radio, feeling that the new technology jeopardized the livelihoods of professional musicians. The vast majority of his band's members thought otherwise, and Sousa allowed them to record, usually under the baton of trombonist and arranger Arthur Pryor. Later, Pryor would form his own band, and whenever possible, draw upon the personnel of both his and Sousa's band to make an extremely popular series of recordings for the Victor Talking Machine Company. We'll listen now to several of those recordings by the Sousa and Pryor recording bands. First, Sousa's band, with one of the very few recordings on which Sousa did himself conduct, the January 30, 1902 Trombone Sneeze, a Pryor composition featuring his humorous trombone work. And then Pryor conducting the Sousa band on October 25, 1905 with Silence and Fun. And then back to April 5, 1901, with Pryor conducting Hula Hula Cake Walk. And then we'll hear two tracks credited to Arthur Pryor's band, first on September 12, 1907 with The King of Rags, and finally in May 1911 with Cananabalmo Rag.
Thank you.
friends of John Philip Sousa and Arthur Pryor, with several ragtime pieces recorded for the Victor Company between 1901 and 1911. Another popular recording artist dealing in ragtime was a banjo player named Vess L. Osman. Here are two of his ragtime recordings. First, a solo from a Columbia session in April 1907 titled The Florida Rag, and then a banjo duet for Victor with William Park Hunter, playing a medley led off by the Sycamore Tree. Thank you. S.L. Osman and William Park Hunter from a 1904 recording of By the Sycamore Tree, medley. Osman was hardly the only star banjoist playing ragtime. Another was Fred Van Epps, whose career appears to have been slightly longer than Osman's. Here we have four of his recordings. First, a March 13, 1919 re-recording of his 1908 Victor catalog item, Silver Heels, One Step. Then a February 6, 1913 item for Columbia, Whipped Cream. After that, two 1914 recordings, first for Columbia's Little Wonder 5-inch Children's Series as leader of the Van Epps Banjo Orchestra on Some Baby. And finally for Victor leading the Van Epps Trio, which was rounded out with a drummer who also happened to be Eddie King, a Victor executive who thought the piece needed one. Van Epps didn't think so, but since King worked for the record company, his opinion won out. That recording is the Old Folks Rag.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fred Van Epps with Silver Heels, Whipped Cream, Some Baby, and The Old Folks Rag. The ragtime heard on that Sousa Band tour of Europe in 1900 had a huge effect on popularizing all American music on the other side of the Atlantic. Three results of which we'll be hearing now. First are two examples of ragtime on the accordion, recorded individually by two brothers born near the northern Italian town of Torino, who learned ragtime while still in Italy and eventually emigrated to the United States. First, Guido Diero with his August 1912 Columbia recording of the Diero Rag, and then Pietro Diero with his March 1914 Victor recording of the Hungarian Rag. And after that, the Orchestra Pathé Frère, probably made up of personnel from the French Garde Républicaine band, with a record cut in Paris about 1906 for the Pathé Company, the Brooklyn Cakewalk.
The
European ragtime performances from Italy's Guido and Pietro Diero and the Orchestra Pathé Frères. Finally, two recordings from a band leader largely responsible for the crossover from ragtime to jazz at the end of the 19-teens, as well as the most famous African-American band leader in the American military during World War I, Lieutenant James Reese Europe. Here we hear the pre-war Europe's Society Orchestra with a December 29, 1913 victory recording of Too Much Mustard. And then, lastly, a cut from the last recording session of Europe's 369th U.S. Infantry Hellfighters Band that was heard on the very first program in this series. It was made for the Pathé Company about a month before Europe was fatally stabbed by a crazed percussionist in his band. It is not known if Europe's killer actually appears on this recording, but its release is considered by many musicologists to be the last important example of ragtime as a contemporary popular music form. From circa March 7, 1919, the Russian Rag.
Thank you.
James Reese Europe, before the First World War with Too Much Mustard, and then after with the Russian Rag. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio, on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll join us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.